My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Hey guys, it's that time of the year. It's spooky month, and we always like to give you guys a little something extra. So on this day, when you normally would have no episode, I've got a bonus episode, and it's an hour and 45 minutes long, roughly. This was a Patreon bonus episode that we did back in February of 2019, and it actually has all listener stories, so you get to hear them straight from the listeners' mouths. So enjoy, and happy Halloween month.
Hillbilly Horror Stories, Listener's Stories bonus episode. Please welcome to the show, Jerry and Tracy, and you.
I just moved in my new house today. Moving was hard, but I got squared away. Bells started ringing and chain ran loud. In a haunted house.
Hey guys, and welcome to February's Listener Stories episode. We've got a bunch of really cool stories for you.
Good evening.
We've actually got some stories from, I guess we can say all over the world since Natasha from Australia is back on.
Yeah.
I think everything else is just straight from the United States. So it's not really all over the world.
Well,
but
that's good.
It's more like the United States and Australia.
So. I'll take it.
So I guess since we've already brought up Natasha, we'll save her for the later because last time she was on at the beginning. But Natasha's the one who actually does our Facebook group. So it was cool having her back on again.
She is the cutest thing. I swear. She's so cute. And we appreciate her so much.
We actually talked to Dustin last night. We did an interview and he was telling us about a cool story that... Well, I'm not going to tell you the story because he's going to tell you the whole story.
Yeah, he's going to tell you the story.
It's but it just involves the woods, and it's kind of spooky. So
nothing better than spooky woods.
If you like that movie, like A Cabin in the Woods, this is more like a house in the woods. But either way, it was fun. So let's listen to Dustin. All right, so our next guest is actually a local. He's not too far from us, about 45 minutes from where Tracy and I live. This is Dustin from Kentucky. Dustin, welcome aboard.
Hey, Jerry.
I said that like you're getting on a train or something to start the show.
Welcome, hon.
So, Dustin, you let's start off with this real quick because you've actually got a YouTube channel and you showed me a video earlier today. It's already got 10,000 views. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it blew up in just like a matter of no time. It was just stale for a little while, and then all of a sudden it just started like getting thousands each day and just keeps growing.
Do you have any idea what made it blow up? I mean, did it appear on somebody famous posted or something? Or do you have any idea it just happened?
We have no idea.
Well, good for you, though. That's awesome.
That is funny. Yeah, it's actually in one of those, the whole Ashley Judd at the complaining about her visit to the airport. It's like one of the takes on that. So it's actually
that was real big. We was just at the Chinese restaurant and that all happened at the same time, and I was like, let's make a video when we leave here.
So in the video, what you talked about, is that something that really happened?
Yeah, it really happened.
Oh, man.
I was like, of all people, why come up to us out of the whole restaurant?
Nice. Well, that's a funny story. The story you've got next isn't quite so funny.
No, it's not.
So this actually involves... a cabin, which is, those are always scary. But when you get residual hauntings and stuff, that's residual hauntings to me are one of the most fascinating type things because it's just amazing that something can keep playing out and playing out for who knows how long. But that's kind of what your story is based on. So I'm going to turn it over to you and let you tell me the story you've got.
All right. Well, I grew up in London, Kentucky. So we lived on a farm. And in the summertime, me and my friend Tina, we stayed out in the woods playing, you know, from daylight to dark. So it was a Friday the 13th, and we took off to the woods and wasn't very far from the house. And we was just roaming around, and all of a sudden started hearing this, like, a rocking sound, and was like, you know, where's that coming from? So we kept roaming around, and we come to this, like, little pine tree area, and just one thing that I noticed was, like, an oak shoe, like, sticking up out of the ground. And we went on up through a little bit, and then seen, like, an old white farmhouse that was, like, a one-story and, like, a long porch around the front. And the windows were, like, the glass was gone, but it was real dark inside and, like, burnt with, like, black smoke looking around the windows. And as we would get up closer, you could hear that rocking chair just keep going faster and faster. And we was both getting scared and was daring each other to go up through there and see what it was, and got pretty close to the porch and chickened out and took off running to the house and was freaked out and telling Mom what had happened. And she's like, well, you know, there ain't no house even close to us. So the house that was there was tore down when she was a little kid. So it just freaked us out. And we went back after that to just roaming through the woods to see if we could find it again, and never had been able to find it. But that shoe was still in the ground, but no house.
How old were you at this time?
We was probably like 8, 9, somewhere around in there.
Oh, wow. So the house that you guys saw and got close enough to see all the details of the burnt wood or whatever it was, it didn't really exist.
No, it had been torn down for 40 years probably.
And you had no knowledge of this house beforehand?
No way.
Well, that's pretty messed up.
It is.
So, and you had the shoe to go by to know you were in the right place.
Yeah, we seen the shoe, but there wasn't no house.
How close would you say you guys actually got to the house?
Maybe about 30 feet.
Oh, that's pretty darn close.
Yeah, we was a little brave, but not too full.
Wow. So what happened after that? So y'all went back and you tried to find it again and couldn't find it. And what happened after that point? I mean, did y'all have a discussion with your mom then about, you know, the house? Did she believe you? What kind of thought process went on?
Well, we told her about it, and she was like, well, you know, I don't know, and just kind of swept it away. But I started thinking about it once I got older, and I asked Tina, I was like, what do you remember seeing the old house in the woods? And she's like, yeah, and described every detail as I remember it. So, because I was like, once I got older, I was like, well, maybe it was just a wild dream, but she remembered all the details like I did. So,
wow.
I've thought about trying to go back in there on the third, Friday the 13th, just to see if it would pop up then again.
That is funny that it just happened to be on Friday the 13th as well.
I know. And I just, and like, when we come running back from the wood, she was in front of me and had made it through the door first and was so tore up that she slammed the door and my finger was in it. So I ended up with a big purple nail that day too.
That's great. So you said you was about 8, 9 years old back then. So how many years ago was that?
20, around, yeah, about
20. Wow. Yeah, well, that's cool. So does your mom still live at the same place as where she did back then, or have they moved since?
Yeah, it's still the same. She's still in the same spot, and I live right behind her. It's the family farm that my grandpa had left me.
Oh, okay, so you still live on the same property then?
Yeah.
And nothing has ever came up with this house since that day?
No, we've got my nephew's got a dirt bike practice track up here behind the house, and it goes over towards that area, but there ain't been nobody ever said anything that's been up there at the track so far.
That's absolutely crazy. Well, I appreciate you definitely coming on and sharing that story with us. You got any other paranormal stories that's happened to you, or is that your one single for the lifetime?
There's been a few other little things here and there. Some of the things recent would be my aunt, she passed away in July of last year. and we were really close. And about a week or so after she had passed away, I'd been laying there in bed thinking about things, and I was just thinking about her, and I had my eyes closed, and all of a sudden I heard it plain as day. I heard her say, "Dustin Ray," and I woke up straight, my eyes wide open, and that freaked me out a little bit. But and then I've had like a few random water drops here and there in the past little bit too. So like I was at Mom's one night and sitting on the couch, and we was talking, and I felt a drop of water hit my forehead, and she saw me wipe it away, and I looked up, and you know, it wasn't raining outside. The ceiling didn't have no water coming out of it anywhere. It was just that one little random drop. So
you said that's happened. You said that's happened a couple of times.
Yeah, it's happened to me a couple of times. When I'm at work, it's happened two or three times. It happened at Mom's, and once when I was getting in the car. At work, I didn't really think anything about it, and when I was getting in the car, I thought, well, maybe it's just a raindrop. But once I was sitting at Mom's on the couch and felt it hit my head, I was like, something's up.
Yeah, I would think so. It's just random raindrops inside the house. No big deal.
Yeah. I looked it up on Google just to see if there's any like paranormal attachments to random drops, and it had talked about something about your energy builds up in the atmosphere, and it could be the water drop, or it could be tears from a loved one watching over you.
Oh, that's comforting.
And I noticed it. Well, last year was a really rough year. We lost my baby nephew in April of last year. He was just almost 2 months old.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I kind of connect the little random drops to him, I guess.
That would make sense, being an infant.
Yeah.
Well, sorry. It sucks you had such a rough year. You lost your aunt.
Yeah, it was
and
a rough
nephew.
Year. It was like all of a sudden it was my nephew passed away, and then my papa, and then my aunt. And it was just like 3 months of rough.
Yeah, the thing you always got to keep in mind, Dustin, is you know, when you lose people in the natural and the physical form, is they're always with you spiritually, and that's probably what you're experiencing is just their way of letting you know they're still there.
Yeah.
Well, brother, we appreciate you coming on.
And, well, you're welcome.
We're always glad to have a local people listening to the show. How did you find out about the show originally?
I believe it was from K-Town Podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's my buddy.
Because I listened to her and Kim there forever on the same-sex dialogue, and then I went over to Mysterious Radio.
Yep.
And I think it was from Mysterious.
Yeah, I think because they had already kind of stopped the other podcast before I got to meet K-Town and Kim. But, yeah, we put up a picture of all of us together when me and Tracy met them back in September back in Knoxville where they live. So it's they're good people.
Yeah, they're awesome. I love them.
So, well, thank you so much for listening. And, you know, we can't wait to get you back on it. And I can't wait to finish watching some more of y'all's YouTube videos.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
And you have a problem if we post the link to that video on the Patreon page?
No, that'd be fine.
Awesome, man. Thanks, Dustin. I appreciate it, and we'll see you soon.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Dustin's story, and Dustin actually lives literally 45 minutes to an hour away from us, so I thought that was kind of cool. I didn't realize that until we set up the interview that he was so close.
Yeah, we'll have to hook up sometime.
Absolutely. This is a fun story that I thought. This was a young lady named Jamie from out in California, and she was super excited to tell this story about a preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the first preschool story that we've had
on
here.
Oh, it is, absolutely.
And it's really cool story, and I thought it's definitely got its funny parts to it. So
yeah, she tells it with such enthusiasm. It's great.
She's going to think we're making fun of her, but no, we promise we're not
wonderful.
Making fun of her. We actually enjoyed the story.
Yes,
a lot,
of course.
So.
Well, never. I think she did a great job, and she really kept you into the story. I mean, yes, she did a great job.
So this is Jamie out in California. All right, we get to venture back out to the great state of California for our next guest. This is Jamie from Chico, California. It's in the Sacramento area.
Hey. Sorry, went too early.
No, you're fine.
So much for that psychic ability. I'm just kidding.
Hey!
Jamie, you've been a member of the group now for a little bit, and you've sent us a very
very awesome Christmas card.
Yes.
Of your family.
That was awesome.
So I had to send it to my favorite podcast.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you, honey.
But you sent me a couple of cool stories that you've got, and I thought it would be cool to have you on and actually tell it to the listeners. And you especially have one that I think is going to be extra creepy, and it involves a haunted preschool. So I'll turn it over to let you just start telling the story.
All right. So I moved to Chico, gosh, probably 2005 or 6, and I started working at a school, and the preschool was set in a bigger building, so it had other offices in it too. And at first, when I started working there, it wasn't too much. And then we added a door because we were able to get more pieces of the building. And the owner cut the door out and we had another piece of the room or another office room. And that's when things started getting weird. The doorbell would ring. Now, I don't know, but our doorbell's never just rang at our house. I've never had any other doorbell wherever I've lived just started ringing. So the doorbell would ring because we had a keypad entrance. Parents had to use keypad so we didn't get like crazy people from the street in our school. So the doorbell would ring. You'd go to the door. Nobody would be there. You'd walk 2 feet away and the doorbell would ring again. Nobody was there. So that was weird. So the first thing that ever happened to us in the school, this little girl fell in mud outside, which was actually pretty funny. And she was covered in mud from head to toe. And she had on a white dress and she was crying. And my co-teacher was like, "Hey, Jamie, can you take her in the other room, in the 4s and 5s room, and get her all cleaned up?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." So I walk in, I close all the doors behind me, and I walk in the 4s and 5s room, and I hear, as plain as day, a laugh. And I thought, oh my God, that teacher left a kid in this classroom. I searched the whole entire room, and nobody's there. So I was like, that's weird. And I kind of just got the kid cleaned up and put her back outside and went back to my classroom and told my other teacher, "Hey, I heard a laugh in that room. It was really weird." And she just went just white. And she said, "I closed the room down a few days ago and I heard a laugh." And we're like, whoa, that's weird. So a few months go by and we just kind of do the same thing. We hear knocking and the laughing, and toys would always be falling off the shelves after we would leave in the day. So our boss would yell at us the next day, "You girls didn't clean up. You left all these trucks and blocks and cars out." And we were like, "No, we put all those toys away at night," but there would always be something on the ground. So about maybe a little bit later, there was more construction in our building. And this is where we think the root of the problem came from, is when any time the building was touched, things would start acting up. So I walk into one of the other spare rooms we got, and I think we were kind of like, I think the kids and I were all kind of playing around and laughing and joking and kind of doing the boop, just jumping out at each other. So I walk in this other room where no kids are allowed, and I'm grabbing food for the lunches. And I literally hear in my ear, like plain as day with a breath, someone say, "Ha ha ha," like a woman's voice. And I turn around real fast and I thought it was my boss trying to scare me, and nobody's there. So I dropped the can of peaches and all the stuff and ran out of the room, ran down the hallway screaming. So my boss thought the best idea at that point is, "Oh, let's go back in the room and you can you can confront it." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "No, I don't want to go. I don't want to go." Our landlord saw us kind of like having a, moment in the hallway and made a joke. "That's why the rent's so cheap." So, which I don't think he believed it at that point, but I think he was hearing things from other tenants that things were happening. Mm-hmm. So a little bit later, I was closing down the preschool, and mind you, the preschool would close at 6. So this happened about 6:30, 6:20. I walk in the room, pulling garbage bags, and right behind one of the tables is a little boy standing there. And I think I saw him probably from his torso up. And he had a goldish glow to him. And he saw me. And at first when I saw him, I thought, "Oh my God, I left a kid in the room." I must have a thing about leaving children in rooms and fears that we're actually doing that, which we didn't. But I was like, "Oh my God, a kid's in the room." And then I looked at him and he looked at me. And then I realized, oh, that's a ghost. And at that point, he ducked behind the fish tank and just disappeared. I broke my flip-flop, said bad words, and I started crying and sitting on the floor crying. My other coworker comes in and she, what happened? And all I could just was like pointing to the fish tank, and it was just all bad.
Oh, man.
About a few weeks later, yeah, other teachers saw him too, and we all described him the same way, that he was a blonde-haired boy, about 5 or 6 years old, and yeah, it was really creepy. So the woman, we'll go back to the woman. Then we started seeing her around the building, and she was, I'm 20s-ish, Asian woman, Chinese woman. And she had on an apron, and she would peek around corners at us. So at this point, I'm like, okay, we got to find out what's happening in this school, because this is not normal. So I talked to the owner of the building who had built the building, and he had said, oh, talk to Carrie. She's the office girl. She knows a whole history of this area, this block. So I started talking to her, and she tells me that, oh, this used to be Chinatown back when John Bidwell, who's the guy who made the town. This is all Wikipedia information. This was the Chinatown area. So I did a little research, and I found that in 1886, Chinatown was burned down. 29 men were arrested for murder and arson. So that explains why we would have a Chinese woman in our school. So I find out all this information. I look at maps, and it's just like, it just proved everything. So it was pretty scary for a little bit longer, because they started doing more construction, and then the cowboy showed up. And the cowboy would, and this is all Gold Rush, I'm assuming, when the whole town, that little part of Chico was booming. And that's another part. I found out from the owner's secretary or office lady that when they originally built the building back in the early 90s, they were digging through the ground, and they actually found opium pipes and pottery. And Chico State actually came in and took it all and did like a little archaeological dig in the back, in the whole like area where the place was built. So they were thinking that it possibly was an opium den on top of where our playground was. Oh, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the cowboy, here's the scary story about a cowboy. So Jerry, you said a couple days ago, and you said the word on, and I don't remember what it was called. What's that cowboy coat called? That like Doc Holliday would wear?
The square thing on the back.
What is it?
Remember?
Yeah, the frock?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, so he had that on and a hat. And sometimes he didn't wear a hat. And he would walk down the hallway, and I think he was more residual, because he never, like, talked to us or did any – yeah, he never said anything, never really looked at us. He would just walk past you. So – and I saw him disappear with a little girl, and I were coming back from the kitchen, and we literally saw him just disappear in front of us.
Oh, man.
And it – and the little girl was like, where did he go? And I'm like, I don't know. Let's yeah. go back in the school.
Yeah, how do you explain that to a little kid?
The little girl was like, what the frock did I just see?
Yeah. So a little bit later, I mean, we never told parents, because you're never going to tell a parent, hey, guess what? Our school is haunted.
Yeah.
Like, because that would totally make sales go up in our school. So one day, this dumb teacher we had started saying something about, oh, well, you know, when there's construction, it makes the spirits come up.
That's true.
And it is, but you don't tell parents that. So the dad looks at her, like, just blankly looks at her, and he goes, you've seen the cowboy in the hallway. And of course, I'm right there like, excuse me? What cowboy? I knew what he was talking about. And he said, oh, I thought it was cowboy day at school, and you guys hired a guy to dress up in a cowboy costume. And he walked by me, and then he disappeared. So, yeah. That's my story. Oh, I have one more about the woman. This okay. is probably the scariest one about the woman. She would hang out in the back office where we would have, like, storage stuff. So sometimes we'd have to go in the back and use a copy machine or grab toys or grab things. She would play a piano that had no batteries in it. She'd, you know, make the keys make noises.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I walk back, and the funny thing is that the same little girl that was with me when we saw the cowboy, so maybe we between the two of us, we could, like, you know, see them together. I'm not really sure. But she had been up from nap for a while, and we walk in the room, and I said, come on, let's go, ladies, let's go. I had three of them. Come on, let's go. The last one comes out, and she's bawling, crying, screaming and crying, and she goes, I had a nightmare. And we were like, what do you mean you had a nightmare? You've been up forever. No, you didn't have a nightmare. And she said, the other teacher in the room with the apron, I saw a teacher in the room with the apron.
Oh,
and
man.
Then we were like, oh, she saw her.
Oh, my gosh. So, I mean, have all the kids seen her?
No, just maybe one or two had said something about it, but most of them didn't say anything.
Wow.
Yeah, it was creepy.
Yeah, that is very creepy.
So when Chinatown burnt down, mm-hmm. had they done their fair share of Chinese fire drills beforehand to make sure they were safe?
Oh, God. This is serious, Jerry.
Yeah.
She's the one talking about Chinatown burning down. All I was thinking about was fried rice.
So, oh, you're silly. So, I guess, so you said they arrested 29.
It said 29 men were arrested for murder and arson.
Wow.
Again, this is all via the internet, so it must be true.
Yeah, true.
Of course it is.
I mean, I wonder why they did that, though. What would be their reason?
There was a lot of, but I've also read in, so back in 1877, there was a lot of anti-Chinese riots.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just probably racism, mm-hmm. and they just didn't want them there. This was all during the gold rush, I'm assuming, maybe a little bit before, a little bit. I'm not really good at history, but so yeah,
wow.
it's a lot of stuff happened in that little area.
Yeah, that's really sad. Dang it.
Yeah, it was really sad.
Yeah.
And the little boy, we don't know where the little boy came from. That's the only one that was always a mystery to us. The site after it had gotten burned down was a church for a while.
Uh-huh.
So we're not sure if that had anything to do with it, but we don't know. And since the preschool I worked at, they have moved. They didn't move because of that. The rent went up. They just didn't want to afford it anymore.
Yeah.
But I think something else probably took over the lease. Mm-hmm. Other offices would talk about hearing footsteps. And so, yeah, it's a pretty active little building.
Yeah. They didn't seem like they were, like, could be harmful or anything. They were just, like, chilling, right?
Yeah. The woman, she would kind of, like, she liked the baby room. And she would walk around. But the little boy was kind of mischievous, of course. And mm-hmm. he threw toys around. And there was a ball kind of rolled at me one time. And then I didn't go back in the back room for a few good months. But, yeah. And the cowboy, I don't think he even knew he was dead. He just walked the hallways.
Oh, dang. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Cool, though. So, yeah. For sure.
That's my story.
And it's a cool story to have right on the track of our doing Tombstone with having the cowboy. So
Yeah. Seriously.
Tracy's dropping stuff.
Sorry, I dropped my glasses.
Yes, do you have any random questions about the building or any of the parts? I can answer anything random.
Yeah, is it brick or wood?
Yeah, what was it back in the day?
What, the building?
They built the building, what you said, in the 90s, right?
Oh, I'm not really sure. I mean, it looks like a normal building at this point. It has, like, you know, the stucco outside. But it's come a long way. I mean, they have gutted the inside of the building multiple times. So, like, our suite wasn't really touched very much, but the other parts of the building had gone from, like part of, like, a school thing, and then it turned into another, like, turned into an online big business, and now I think it's an insurance company. And every time they did it, they had to, like, rip out walls and tear down stuff, and they actually, like, would rearrange, like, the hallways around, and that's when activity would just get just unbearable sometimes.
Well, I imagine. I mean, they keep changing stuff around, and they're just trying to, you know, chill and hang out in there. I mean,
maybe why they came to our place, because we didn't change it too often, so maybe they felt safer in the little office areas. But
it definitely makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Really, it does.
Yeah, and then the playground was also pretty. We would hear, if you went to, like, the one, there was a couple areas in the playground you'd go to, and you would hear, like, your name getting called.
Uh-huh.
And then you would turn around to be like, oh, like, you know, thinking, who was it? And the other person would be either inside or on the other side of the playground. And it was just, oh, okay. someone's outside.
Oh,
all
dang.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, they knew our names, which was kind of
oh, my
creepy.
Gosh.
Yeah, they would hear, we'd hear your, Jamie. And you'd
no,
hear it and you'd turn
you
around
know
and nothing
didn't.
Was there.
They said your name?
Yeah, they would say our names.
Oh, my gosh. That would freak me out so bad.
Oh, and then we had security cameras, and every time anything would happen, we'd get excited and want to look on the cameras.
Yeah.
And we'd go on the camera, and it would literally, like, skip.
Oh, man, are you kidding?
You wouldn't see anything. So it definitely could mess with the electronics.
Yeah.
So we never had proof, video proof. No, and then sometimes the girls would try to be like, oh, I'll take a picture.
Yeah.
Oh, there's orbs. But I don't believe in orbs. I think it's just dust. And little things like that I just couldn't get into. And I was like, I don't know. And they always wanted to spend the night and do a Ouija board. And I was like, nope.
Oh,
nope,
heck no.
Nope. Mm-mm, nope. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't open up that portal. Don't mess with it. So
good for you.
Yeah. I got to come here and work every day. I'd rather there not be evil entities in here.
Man, I wish I could just experience something like that, like you have.
We have enough evil with the 3-year-olds. We don't need
That's so awesome.
It was really scary at the time. There was, like I said, I didn't go in the back room for a good month after the ball got thrown or rolled. And I would never go in the building by myself. Like, I would have to open the building at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I would either wait for my coworker or parent. I would never go in the building by myself.
Oh, I don't blame you.
And I had to one time, and it was terrifying, turning on all the lights, and it was just too creepy.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, don't blame you. I wouldn't have wanted to either, for sure.
Well, Jamie, we appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us. It was fun.
Yeah, that's so
thanks.
Yeah.
And I have more. So if you ever want to hear any more stories, I got a few more. Ghosts seem to like me. So.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have you back on. We love when we have we're just now getting to the point where we have people that's coming on for their second time. So it's pretty cool to be able to share these experiences and know that there's so many out there. It just makes people feel at ease when they have an experience.
Yes, it makes you feel like you have someone. I like to have someone that believes me because nobody really believes me. I tell my husband and I tell my friends and, oh, yeah, sure, Jamie, whatever. And I'm like, no, it really happened. I saw it. So.
We would love to have you back on.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks for having me on tonight, guys.
You're welcome. Thank you
so
much.
So nice to talk to you, hon.
All right. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, sweetheart. Thank you.
That was Jamie from California, and she's got the cutest little girl, like 2 years old, and she was telling us after the interview that she listens to the beginning of the show, and when she hears the music come on, she gets all excited, and she starts talking about Tracy.
Oh, that's the sweetest thing ever. She is a doll baby.
Now, our next story is, you know what, I was trying to think if I had anything that reminded me of this story, but I don't really, because this one's a little bit unique. But this is actually Sam. Sam's been on the show before, and she didn't get a chance to tell her Pine Barrens story, which, of course, that's where the Jersey Devil is. Mm-hmm. So we brought her back on to tell her story this time about the Pine Barrens. All right, guys, we have another one of our repeat guests on. We've got Sam from New Jersey, and Sam was on, I believe, back in November, if I remember correctly, because my memory is not apparently very good tonight, but I think you were back on in November, which might have been December's show that we actually had you on. And so welcome back, Sam.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Now, you've got some stories to do with the Pine Barrens. Of course, we did the whole New Jersey Devil story, and most of that all has to do with the Pine Barrens and the area around there. And you've actually got some personal experiences there, so I'm going to let you tell us about them.
Yeah, well, there was, as anyone who's listened to the episode know, the Pine Barrens is pretty vast, and it covered, and it's mostly centered in South Jersey, if I remember correctly. But the place that we found in Weird New Jersey, I don't know if you guys know what Weird New Jersey is, but it's this magazine that comes out like quarterly or annually, and it basically points out all the points of interest, and it's really cool. It's really fascinating, and they also have books on each state, so if you go to the local section of your bookstore, you probably find a Weird New Jersey edition of Massachusetts or Kentucky or wherever. So we found this place called Mount Misery. It's right off, well, I probably shouldn't give specifics because it's kind of being used right now. But the place is called Mount Misery. and it's currently used by a Methodist church as an outdoor church slash summer camp. And it's called Mount Misery. There's no mountain there, but in the 1800s, when there was sawdust mills there, well, it was a typical northeastern weather in the 1800s. The summers were brutal. The winters were brutal. The sawmills were just miserable. So Mount Misery is what they started calling it. So we started going to Mount Misery because, as I explained in the November listener stories, I was having a lot of experiences at my own house, and it kind of drove me to want to understand why this happened. Like, can I get evidence? Like, I wanted to find out why this was happening. I wanted to understand the paranormal more. So what we did was, first visit, we actually got chased by some wild dogs. That was, there is a little pathway behind the outdoor church. Obviously, we were there at night because we shouldn't be there at all. It's technically trespassing. But there's a little alley, like little trail alleyway behind the cross at the front of the church, or the front of the outside church. And we're in there, and we just started hiking along the trails. And what happened was we started hearing barking, and we had to turn tail and run. One of my friends actually lost his shoe, so we had to hear the barking get closer and closer as he grabs his shoe out of the mud and starts running without his shoe. But the one visit that really stuck out to me paranormally was one where we found this lake, because we had gone past the Methodist church camp, and we just went on the trails in the actual Pine Barrens themselves. And of course, you know, the Pine Barrens is very dense and it has that energy to it. So it's not just the Jersey Devil that's there. It's a lot of things. And things were already kind of weird at first. As we were driving away from one location, Doe had jumped out in front of us. And as we were coming out to the lake, as we were, before we stopped to park, another doe had jumped out in front of us, but it's like, hey, it's the woods. You see deer all the time.
Right.
And so it was just like, oh, hey, two deer. Okay, cool. And so we start walking along the path next to this lake. Now, I've explained I'm a Wiccan. My boyfriend is more into Native American spirituality. So he has this totem with a toad on it. And the entire time we were walking along, we were going further and further into this lake. There was a frog following us and croaking behind us. So he was joking, oh, hey, it's Toad. He's making sure we're safe. So we head towards this bridge. And I didn't personally see this. This was being described to me, after we had left the area. But my boyfriend and his buddy saw an orb dip into the lake. And all of a sudden, like, just this swirling sense of dread started hurling towards us. Like, I didn't see anything. I didn't see the orb. But all of a sudden, everything was quiet. It went from a nice chattery forest, like crickets, toads, and everything, to dead silent. And all we could feel was dread. Like, we wandered into something's territory.
Sounds a lot like my bedroom, but that's my reason.
I hear that a lot. No. But we go back over the bridge and thinking, okay, we've intruded on something. We got to head back, but it only intensifies, like it's trying to chase us out. So we go from walking to kind of jogging. Like, we just were like, okay, something's going on here. We'll just find another place to explore. That's fine. And we get back to the car. And as my buddy turns on the car and turns us around so we go back to the trails, an albino doe jumps out in front of us. Mm-hmm. Albino doe. Like, white as snow on Christmas.
Oh, that's cool, though.
Yeah, it's just like, well, we were just staring at this doe. It stared at us, and it went into the trees, and you never see those. And we already had two deer jump in front of us, and the saying is, trouble comes in threes. Mm-hmm. So we kind of look at each other just like, we're not exploring anymore tonight. We got to go home. Like, we were done. And my buddy's nervous, so he's picking up speed. He wants to get out of there because something wasn't right. And as he's turning a corner, this orb of light comes descending down through the leaves of the tree. And the leaves were actually getting disturbed by this. And off this orb just came like flowing light. Like if you were pouring water over a ball and the water that was running off of it just turned into light. Like it was dripping light. I have no other way to explain this. And we knew we had disturbed something and we disturbed something bad. So my buddy was too freaked out to drive. We had to do a really quick Chinese fire drill. So my boyfriend could drive the truck and we were out. And I personally had not stepped back into Mount Misery since, but mostly because the guys won't let me come along. They say, no, we don't want to put you in danger. We just want to see what's going on. And I'm like, well, that's nice and everything, but I'm feeling a little left out.
So you said that orb, you said it disturbed the leaves, like when it was coming down, it was like moving leaves and stuff out of the way as it came down?
Yeah, it was really weird. Like it wasn't like a flare that all of us saw. It was like something that was physically there. And there's one more part to this story. So a friend of mine actually lives out in a lake community that's in the Barrens, and I was supposed to be spending the week at her house because her parents were out of town. And so my boyfriend dropped me off at my place. I got in my car and I headed back to the forest towards her lake community because I was supposed to be with her, but I wanted to go hang out with the guys first. And there's an S curve on the way to her house called Dead Man's Curve, because obviously the S curve is very tight. If you take it too fast, you're going to go right into a tree, guaranteed.
Right.
So I'm going towards this curve. And at this point, I did not know it was called Dead Man's Curve. I actually did not learn this until about a year ago what it was called. And all of a sudden, my foot feels like it was locked into place and my car starts going faster. Like I can't pull my foot off the gas and my car is just going faster and faster towards this curve. And I see a hairy head in my rearview mirror.
Hairy head.
Yeah, it's just like a head of hair, like a very like long, unkept hair. In my rearview mirror. So I'm freaked out and I'm like trying to move. My head's actually getting pushed back into my headrest. Like I'm being forced to stay still while I'm trying to stop my car. And as I'm thinking, oh God, I'm going to hit something. All of a sudden my car lurches. Like you change gears in a car. It just lurches and all of a sudden it just starts slowing down and the head in my rear view is gone.
Oh my gosh.
So I've had a scary night. I get back to my friend with no incidents, but it was just, I don't know if we pissed something off by being in its territory. I don't know if it was something else in the Pine Barrens, but.
Man.
It was something different.
Yeah, that's crazy. I've been scared to death. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I'm still interested in supernatural.
So both of those things happened the exact same night?
The exact same night.
Oh, I was thinking that was two separate.
Man, that's crazy.
No, I think I was followed to ensure that I did not intrude on its territory again. And I mean, the Pine Barrens is vast. I mean, I was talking to Tony from the Confessionals, and he told me he was talking to a guy who went to a lake in the Pine Barrens, and there was this huge mass that just absorbed their flashlight.
Yeah, that's...
And we're talking like, is that the same lake? But I mean, Pine Barrens is pretty vast. It could just every lake has something, because water and then the energy of that area, who knows what could be there.
See, that freaks me out, because back in the day we used to go swimming after we got off work in the lake at like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. Now to think of all these stories I'm hearing today, I would have crapped my pants. I mean, seriously, thinking about that, like, oh my gosh, because you never know what's in the lake anyway.
You was probably so drunk.
Yeah.
You was seeing orbs anyway.
I wasn't drunk, man. I was eating some chicken.
Lake? What the hell kind of chicken you got?
Well, because when we got done with the shift, there was like fish and chips and chicken and all kinds of things left over, and we always just had to throw them out, and we'd always just grab it. You know, pack us up a big feast, and a bunch of us would go down to the lake and go swimming and all that. But now if I think about it, man, that was stupid.
Pack you up a big feast. the hell are you?
It was a feast.
We all do stupid things when we're young.
Oh,
it's fine.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously.
Did you eat it at a round table and have knights run around? And...
May have. Don't be hating.
Grab that fiddle and dance for me.
I could have been invited.
Oh, my gosh. That is so scary. I cannot even imagine you being in that car and that stuff. Oh, my gosh.
You know, that's actually one of my biggest, I won't say a fear, but it's like I have a recurring dream that I'm in a car. And I literally have no control. It's like the car speeding, just like you said, like my foot's pressed on the gas. And it's like nothing I can do will release it. And it's like I'm turning the steering wheel, but it's not turning. It's like I've lost all control of the car and it's speeding. I've had that dream probably 30 times in the past 5-6 years. So it's always like I never actually crash into anything, but I have that feeling of, I have no control and I'm speeding and I'm going to hit something. And sometimes it's heading towards a house. Sometimes it's just straight down a freeway. Sometimes it's towards a tree, but it's always that same scenario.
That's crazy.
And I don't even remember how I get into it.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
That's all right.
I'm still new at dream interpretation, but it just sounds like you have this fear of not being able to get control of a situation, but mm-hmm. I'm still new at it, so.
Well, I am.
If it's recurring, it's something you want to look into.
Well, I'm definitely a control freak, so I mean that doesn't surprise me that one of my fears would have something to do with me not being in control. So.
Yeah, but I don't like that. I mean, especially if you've had that dream that many times.
Yeah, that's just life, I guess.
Oh.
Well, thankfully, dreams are very rarely literal.
Right.
It's just telling you gotta. Like it's your brain acknowledging that you don't like it when you can't control a situation.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure that's all it is. But
mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad everything was okay with you. So that's very scary.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was just trying to scare me, like don't come back here or something else. So I was already freaked out. It's just like, hey, I'm going to scare you.
You know, though, I've become to feel like ghosts and paranormal crap is very rude. They're just rude. They are. They're rude.
You're not wrong. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. That's just like, I've never thought of it that way before. It's like, yeah, they are kind of rude.
They are, man.
Put some signs up next time. Then we won't know to come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we, a crystal ball? We know what you're thinking?
Some people are.
Especially those people in cars that don't use their blinkers.
Oh, I know somebody that does that.
Who?
You.
I use my blinker.
Jerry Pauly. Oh, my gosh. You do not use your blinker. Mm-mm. No, he don't.
I do when I need to use it.
Which is, he never uses his blinker.
If I'm on the freeway and there's no car anywhere close to me, I'm not going to use a blinker.
No, I don't. That I agree with. But, he zips in and out of lanes all the time. I'm like,
She says that, but then if you're sitting beside her in the car, well, you're only going 60. The speed limit's 75. So one minute I'm zipping in and out of cars at a reckless abandon, and all the rest of the times apparently I'm not going fast enough for her. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's my number one pet peeve when driving. It's when someone's like not using their turn signal to merge or anything. It's just like no. You have your turn signals for a reason. You're going to use them. You're going to signal to me what you're doing.
No, I agree with you 100%.
That's not completely true though. If you can speed up and go in front of somebody without causing them any type of having to stop what they're doing or slow down, there's not necessarily a need to do that.
But he does it at nighttime, too.
I don't do it. And I still got lights on in the car. It don't matter if it's a turning signal.
Oh, dear.
Now look what you started. I hope you're happy, Sam,
I'm from New Jersey.
Sorry.
No, I am on your side, Sam, with this stuff. Let me tell you. See, we win.
Anyway, this was fun. Now, we're going to change gears a little bit here. Sam, you've got a story to tell us that involves a loved one of yours that passed us right around this past Christmas time. Why don't you go ahead and share that with us?
All right. Well, my grandfather had a long battle with intestinal cancer, and we were very close before he got sick, but he got sick about 7 years ago, and he just never came back mentally. So it was very frustrating having to deal with that. But like I said, he passed away at 4 a.m. on Christmas morning. And while we're going through everything, you know, it's after you lose a loved one, you remember how close you used to be with them before they started, you know what I'm trying to say, when they start to go.
Right. Mentally, I know what you mean.
Like, you realize how close you used to be with them when you're going down the memories. And I had felt really guilty because the past couple of years, I knew he wasn't doing well. So I'd always, you know, whenever he picked up the phone at my grandmother's house, like, I'd always try to talk to her because she's the one who had the advice and everything I needed. But if he picked up the phone, I'd say, oh, how's your day? How are you doing? And tell him I loved him. But I talked to him a couple of days before Christmas Eve and I didn't do that. And that was the last time I spoke to him. So I kind of kicked myself pretty hard for that. We had a family vacation on Martin Luther King Jr. The holiday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And a coworker of mine had just quit that week. Now, how my work is that there were the two of us in a room separated from the rest of the office because we handle all the checks. Because we have live checks that come into our office. We work at a HR company that handles all the mail and everything for other companies.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. So my coworker had quit. So it's just me doing the work of two people in the room. And I had 2 days in line, but unfortunately, since I was the only person who could do the work, they were debating if I should go or not, or if I should stay there and get the work done. So I was incredibly stressed out. Like, I didn't know if I was going to scream or cry because it's just like, I lost my grandfather. There were other coworkers who were very, they didn't approve of my religion or how I looked, so they weren't very kind to me. Put it in the softest way possible. So I was dealing with that and I was dealing with a lot of things on my plate. And if I couldn't go on this vacation, it was going to be the straw that poked the camel's back. So I'm trying to work and all of a sudden I just feel a light tapping on my head. And I'm looking around thinking it's one of my friends messing with me because they knew I wasn't in a good mood. So I'm looking around, nothing. And I feel a light tapping on my head again. I look around, nothing. And I'm starting to get frustrated, like, what's going on here? And I felt my hair kind of get tugged a little, and there's nothing for my hair to get caught on, and it's never been tugged before at my job. So I'm looking around, like, what's going on? Am I going insane? And then there was just a warm puff of air in one ear, and I'm getting really frustrated. Because I'm looking around thinking I'm going nuts feeling all this, but nothing's there. And it just continues, the hair pulling, the tapping on the top of my head, and I'm just trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And as there's a second hot puff of air in my other ear, I'm turning around and I'm going, stop it, Cappy! Because I didn't even think about it. When he was well and I was upset about something, he didn't do well with tears. So he thought the best thing to do was to annoy me. He thought, tapping my head, tugging my hair, breathing in my ear, just doing all these little things that would annoy the living hell out of me, would make me stop wanting to cry and just turn on him and start getting mad at him instead because he just didn't do well with tears. So I'm turning around about to yell at him to stop it, and I'm just like, oh, just that realization hit of, oh, he was doing his thing that he used to do. He was annoying me because I was just like at that point of frustration. And the moment I turned around and said, stop it, Cappy, it just stopped. And it kind of felt like someone was laughing. And all the weight that was on my shoulder just completely disappeared. And I knew that he was okay.
Oh.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my poor grandmother, she had her first widow episode with a baby squirrel getting into the house. And she has these three huge St. Bernards chasing after this little baby squirrel.
No.
And we were laughing. It was him because he did not like squirrels at all. We actually gave him a book called Outwitting Squirrels. And when they were first married, apparently they had an incident just like that where a squirrel got down their chimney. So we're just like, that's an awful coincidence that a baby squirrel comes down your chimney like a couple weeks after he passed away. So it was a good feeling, and it was funny, but at the same time, it's just like it really took a weight off my chest. I mean, I've had that happen before. A few years ago, my boyfriend's mother passed away, and we were just sitting on the couch, and I felt like someone was like grabbing the back of my arm, like, you know, when you try to get someone's attention. Mm-hmm. Just like someone was just grabbing the back of my arm. Well, he has two cats. One's in my lap, the other one upstairs, and he's in a chair on the other side of the room, and I'm like semi-conscious, so I'm looking around, and I felt that grabbing sensation again, and all of a sudden this warm feeling of love just completely overwhelmed me. I'm just like, okay, I know you're here. Like, I knew that was his mom trying to get my attention.
That's nice.
So not all my paranormal experiences are bad. Some of them are funny, and, you know, it's just in their plane of existence.
Right.
So can I ask you a personal question on something you brought up? You had mentioned that some of the people at work, they don't approve of your religious choices, which you said you were Wiccan, correct?
Yes. They accused me of sleeping with the devil because, you know, mm-hmm. that's just what their version of Christianity dictates, that if you're not a Christian, you're sleeping with the devil, which is unacceptable, but
yeah, no, that's ridiculous.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, well, that's just ignorance.
Yeah,
that's what that is.
It's complete ignorance, and it's just I said something to management, they've seemed to back off, but it's still, in this day and age, we should really be more accepting of other people. Like, I grew up Roman Catholic, and I had not a lot of issues, but I just didn't feel connected to Catholicism, so that's why I went agnostic for a few years, and that's when I discovered Wicca, so I have a respect for it. Mm-hmm. It just didn't work for me. I'm what you called an omnist. I mean, I've only seen written, so I might have pronounced it incorrectly, but someone who believes that every religion shares a version of the truth, so we should respect each other's religions. Like, you'd think that because we have people have different mental needs, people have different physical needs, well, we have different religions for different spiritual needs.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, but it's just, like I said, it's died down since I talked to my managers about it, but it was weighing on me pretty heavily at that point. And like I said, when my grandfather came to annoy me, like he always did, it kind of made everything better.
Good.
Well, Sam, we greatly appreciate you coming on. We thank you for sharing your stories, because I know people get a big kick out of hearing everybody's stories, and I especially love any story that talks about a loved one coming back to give you comfort.
Yeah, it's a good feeling when they do that. So I don't believe in coincidences, so I think that's what helps me put things together, especially that all of a sudden these things are happening in my office that never happened before. I mean, I've had next month we could talk about a couple of experiences I had with my workplaces. I think I attract these things. It's funny. I've done some overnight work, and that's a fun time. That's a really fun time, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. But you seem to handle the experiences pretty good.
Yeah, well, it's something you can't avoid, so it's really something you have to learn to live with and accept, because you're never going to truly understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can try to understand it, but you might just drive yourself crazy, so it's something you got to live with and accept, and it's, like I said, it's just in our plane of existence. It's nothing to fear. There's good and bad on it, just like there's good and bad in this world.
True story.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, darling. I know it's starting to get late at both of our necks in the woods, and I appreciate you staying up late to be able to do the interview.
Yeah, thank you, hon.
Oh, no problem. I love you guys, and I really love listening to Hillbilly Horror Stories.
Well, thank you for doing that. We appreciate it, and we can't wait for you to come back with some more good stuff.
Absolutely. We'll be talking to you soon.
All right, sounds good. Have a good one.
You too, hon.
So you see what I'm saying about not really having a story like this? I mean, you've got this giant ball or slash orb coming down from a tree, and, you know, then you got this lake that's got all kinds of weird stuff happening, and it's just a weird situation all the way around.
I would have been running, lost my shoes, my britches, because I probably would have tripped and fell.
Like the one guy lost his shoes in the mud?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would have been me. I'd have been right there with you trying to run.
Oh, man.
So our next story is actually going to come from our fearless group leader on Facebook, Natasha. And she's from Australia. And she, like Tracy said earlier, she's the cutest little thing in the world.
She is.
And she had a really cool story. When she was on here before, this is her second time. And she was on before telling us about like a battle of good and evil that she had in her bedroom. That where she had an entity, a good entity and a bad entity that kind of fought it out. And she's back with this story here, which is completely different than what that one was. So let's give Natasha a listen. We are joined by another second-time guest. So this is pretty cool. Back-to-back second-time guest on the show. This is Natasha from Australia. Natasha actually is the one who started our Facebook group. So, Tasha, thank you so much for everything you do, and welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Hi, Jerry. That's all right. Thank you for having me on again.
You're more than welcome. It's hard scheduling the time difference, obviously, because you're like 14, 15 hours difference than we are. So I remember the last time we did the hours, I want to say we did it at like 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, because that would put it like at 11 o'clock in the morning for you, and you didn't want to tell your story at nighttime because you was going to be scared.
Yeah, I was petrified, and I really appreciate you and Tracy doing that for me. Thank you.
Not a problem.
So, I mean, it actually, the time frame works out good for us because, like I said, like tonight, it's 9:35 p.m. here. So that's the perfect time for us to be doing interviews. So I'm glad this worked out for your schedule wise.
Cool.
So you've got one of these classic stories of the parents that tell you something, usually just to scare the crap out of you and to keep you from doing something bad. But your story actually has a little truth behind it, and you found out that it really wasn't all a bunch of BS that your parents were feeding you. So I'll turn it over to you and let you tell us the story of the little patch of woods at the end of the street.
Cool. Thanks, Jerry. So this is going back to when we were teenagers and still living at, you know, mom and dad's and stuff. And at the end of our street, there was this – it was like a bunch of woods, really, but – I think it was just like a bit of property that was undeveloped, and there was like a little walking trail through there and this little rundown house. Like, have you seen the Blair Witch Project? It was exactly that little house in the middle of it. And, you know, like my friends who sort of live in that little neighborhood, their parents and my parents sort of told me not to go there because apparently it was haunted by the ghost of the guy who used to own the land of that little neighborhood before it got developed. But we just pass it off as a scary story that, you know, so us little 15-year-olds don't cut across the forest or go sitting there and smoke drugs or whatever they're afraid we were going to do in the bush. One day, though, me and my friend used to work at the shops sort of down the road, and we have, like, late-night shopping here on a Thursday. So I would finish up around 9:30 at night, and my friend would finish up around 10. And one day he was like, we'll just catch a different bus home because, like, we were 15. We couldn't drive or anything. And normally my mom or dad would come and get me, but I was like, well, I'll just catch this other bus home with you that comes all the time and, you know, it'll be fine. The only thing was we had to cut across the bush. So we did that, and I wasn't really worried about the ghost story or anything. I was more worried that we're sort of, you know, it's late at night and it's dark and we're walking through this forested area, like, and I knew about that creepy house as well. I was just like, this doesn't seem like the safest thing to do. But my mate was pretty convincing, and he was just basically like, don't worry, you know, it's really dark in there, because he had done it before. And yeah, he was like, it's really dark in there and, you know, somebody's going to have difficulty finding themselves before they even get to find you if they're going to attack you. Mm-hmm. So
that's comforting.
That was all the convincing. Well, yeah, it sounds legit, right? So I was convinced. I went through. And then, yeah, everything was fine. And then we sort of got towards the middle. We had, you know, those old school Nokia phones? We had, like, those, and we're using, like, the light from our screens and our buttons. Because, I mean, back in those days, like, phones didn't have torches or flashlights or anything on them. So... it's going back a while. So, so we just used, like, this light from our screens, which were pretty dim anyway, just to sort of walk along this makeshift trail. And as we got sort of towards the middle of the bush, I swear everything went silent. It got super dark and it was really eerie. And he and I both felt like the trees were kind of, like, getting bigger around us. So we creeped out, we're walking faster, and we came across the shack, and it was like, he basically screamed and started running. I look up and we could see these like white sort of glowy light inside the shack. And I didn't hang around to get a proper look at it or anything. I just bolted straight after him. And we just like kept on running down the track. We were both screaming, and we did not stop until we basically got to the end of my street and like the forest had stopped. And it was just insanely creepy. It was really freaky. And we're just thinking, you know, oh my God, stories of this little bit of land and that, you know, shack being haunted is true kind of thing. But then on the other hand, we're thinking, well, maybe it was just, you know, some homeless person maybe, or, you know, again, just somebody dodgy hanging out in the middle of the forest in this rundown little shack. Didn't know what to think of it. But anyway, as time goes on, that little area got developed, and there's apartments and stuff there now. And I ended up moving there. And at night, I could hear screams of people in the distance, and I could hear stuff like chains rattling and being dragged along, which is really weird because it's like in the middle of the suburbs. There's really nothing there, like chains and whatnot that you would hear. Like, we're not near a farm or anything. And I've got another friend who sort of like, she moved into the neighborhood a couple of years ago, and she lives next to this guy who's just got this huge block of land, and he's a bit reserved. And she sort of told me that he's the descendant of the guy who used to own that whole neighborhood. And apparently he keeps to himself, and there's like a bit of family feud and whatnot, like over the land and developing stuff. And that just really sent like a shiver down my spine, because that was kind of like along the lines of the scary story that we got told and the reason not to go into the forest. So, yeah, that just – I don't live there anymore, by the way. Like, I'm happy, because it was just so creepy, and yeah, I don't like that area.
I want to know why the guy took off running and left you behind.
He was just scared. He was just like, oh, my God, just ran for it, the poor thing.
Oh, my gosh. I would have been so scared, too. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I really was. So it was just weird. And
did you tell your mom and them about it?
Sorry?
Did you tell your mom and your parents about you going through the bush?
No, because we were not allowed to go through the bush, especially in the middle of the night.
Trying to get her in trouble?
I just wondered if you thought, oh, man, she was telling the truth. They were, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, my God, they're telling the truth.
Oh my gosh.
Shouldn't happen in real life, but it did.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh.
So this is a little off the subject, but – you know, a lot of times if you're walking through an area like that, you'd want to have some kind of protection. I mean, do you guys carry guns, or is it more like boomerangs?
It's more like boomerangs. No, we don't have any protection of any kind here.
Well, I thought it would, you know, be a good time to do some stereotyping. So we won't get as much trouble on this.
Boomerangs are cool.
The Patreon as we would the regular episode. Because truly to God, if I said that on a regular episode, we would be getting a bad review.
Yes. Well, like, I mean, Australians don't ride kangaroos all the time. Yeah. That's like offensive. Oh, that's no, probably could have done with a bit of protection though, and a boomerang or two.
Oh my gosh. I would have been happy with that if I had something.
Okay, so now I'm going to bring this up since we talked about it in the group.
Yeah.
Tell me your addiction to Vegemite, and tell me a little bit about it, and tell me exactly, because I know people listening may not have seen what you wrote. Explain to people who haven't had it what Vegemite is.
Vegemite, I'm pretty sure, is a byproduct of the beer-making process. It's like yeast, and it's got like B2 vitamins and stuff. It's actually really, really good. I don't know how to describe the taste, because I just feel like, oh, it tastes like Vegemite. I guess it's quite strong. Yeah, it's nothing really tastes like it. I guess it's kind of strong, salty, but it's so good. Like,
so is it like a spread?
If you can get on it.
Is it like a spread, like peanut butter, or?
Yep. Oh, Yeah, it's a spread like peanut butter. It's probably more similar consistency to Nutella, but it's really not Nutella. It's really good though. Like, we have it on everything. We get these like awesome Vegemite scrolls. So it's like pastry, and then inside it's like got a layer of Vegemite. Sometimes it comes with cheese. It's just divine. I love it. And yeah, we have Vegemite sandwiches, best ever. I know people who put it like in stir fry. It's really good.
So it sounds like, to put it in stir fry, I mean, is it something, does it have the consistency of like tofu to where you can kind of cut it up into chunks? No, or?
No, it's more like a paste.
Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha.
It's like a smooth, shiny black paste.
Does it taste anything like beer? I know you said it might be a byproduct. Does it have any familiarity to beer at all?
No. Nothing at all.
We don't have that here.
I'm going to have to try to find some because now I'm just curious. Do we have it here? I've been curious ever since Minute Work came out 30 years ago.
Minute Work?
Yeah, oh. the band.
Oh, my gosh.
I love that song.
Oh, yeah. Seriously.
That was like when they first came out. I'm dating myself now, but when that first came out, they were like my favorite band. Mm-hmm. And they put out 3 albums, and I had every one of them, and they were like, couldn't, MTV was just really getting started, and that's when I actually played music back then on MTV, and I would just sit around and wait for Minute Work videos to come on. Mm-hmm. I actually missed a day of school because one of their albums was, it's when it was coming out, was that day, it was first day available, and I missed a day of school to actually go and get that album the first day it was available. That's how big of a Minute Work freak I was.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, no, do it. I'm pretty sure they have Vegemite over there, or I can send you a bottle. It wouldn't be a worry.
Have you ever sent anything to the United States?
No, not yet.
Do you know how expensive it is? I shipped a shirt over to Travis Boyce, and it cost $25 just for the shipping of a shirt that weighed nothing.
That's crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm sure we've got someplace around here that has it.
Yeah, because now I want to try it.
But I'm going to find some. And then maybe we'll do a video of us trying it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You got to have a teeny bit, though. Spread like a teeny bit on toast with tons of butter. That's how you've got to have it at the start.
Just a little bit. Okay. So you think it might be a little overpowering if we do too much?
Yeah, it'll definitely be overpowering. You've got to have like half of a tiny bit to start off with.
Okay. Now you've got me scared to try it. But I'm going to find some. I'm sure that we've got some somewhere around here, or you know, I can order it offline or something, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure eBay would have it.
Yeah. Well, to Natasha, I greatly appreciate everything you do for us. And,
oh, my gosh, yes.
And we're excited that you take complete control of that Facebook page or that group. You're right over top of it. As soon as we got through with the show last night, you already had the discussion group up. And so we're happy that you took the initiative to do it because we've had a lot of fun with it. And I think we hit 400 members today.
Yay.
And that's so hard to believe. Awesome. So.
Yeah, we appreciate you doing that. That's just like the biggest compliment, I think. And that you, it really is, honey, that you took your time out to do that for us. It means the world to us. And, you know, like Jerry said, every time I see somebody wants to join, I'm like, except. I mean, that's so exciting. It's just like, oh, my gosh. So but we really do appreciate that you do that for us. And I'm just glad we have a brand new great friend.
Absolutely.
Oh, thanks, guys. It's all good. It's my pleasure, really. It's fun. And you guys put on such an awesome show. And that's the least I can do for you all. It's all good. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that as well.
It's no problem at all. And then, like I said, you want a shirt from the Patreon.
Oh, great.
Since we're on the Patreon.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'll get with you and let you pick. You can either pick like one of the new designs that we just put up, or you can pick something off of the website. It doesn't have to be a shirt. It could be, you know, a mug, or it could be whatever you want it to be. So I'll let you choose what you want, and we'll make it happen.
Cool. Thank you so much, Jerry.
Thanks, Tasha, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Cool. No dramas. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
If you notice, it's almost like a theme tonight. It's like most of our stories have something to do with, like, Natasha's had something to do with the woods, and then you got the Pine Barrens, which is in the woods before that.
That's why I don't like going into the woods, Dustin's
story, it wasn't really the woods, but it had to do with going back, you know, like in fields and stuff like that and seeing the house. It's like a kind of recurring theme.
I know. That's why I tell you. I don't like going into the woods no more.
No.
And then probably there's no reason for it, but I'll just stay away. Hang out in my backyard.
I'm sure you will. The only one that didn't really have anything to do with that was Jamie's story about the preschool.
Dude, that was crazy.
I know it.
That was crazy.
Now, our last listener story that we have for tonight is a fun one, because what do you think about having a tourist attraction in a small town that's actually haunted? And that's what we got with Joe. He actually works for a pretty well-known establishment in Gatlinburg that a lot of tourists go to, but we can't mention just because of the fact that they wouldn't like him mentioning it on the show, so we didn't mention it.
Yeah.
But this is actually a really touching story anyway, because you all have probably heard, if you've listened to most of our back catalog, that we love Gatlinburg, and we were really sad with all the devastation that went on with the fire down there. And Joe actually lives in Gatlinburg, and he gives us some insight as to what happened during the fires and what happened afterward with the community coming together. So that's what we kind of start off talking about, so it's not really too much on the ghostly side to start off with, but it definitely ends on the ghostly side. He's got some really cool stories from where he works at. So let's give Joe from Gatlinburg a listen. All right, this is kind of a cool guest to get on, because we've had an opportunity to talk about something that's near and dear to our heart, which is the Gatlinburg area. Some of you remember back when the fire happened last year, we talked a lot about memories and how often we go to Gatlinburg. It's a special place for us. It's where Tracy and I spend our honeymoon. We go down every single year, and just last Father's Day, we got to take my dad and her dad on a group trip down there and spend a special Father's Day down there. And we had the privilege of meeting Joe from Gatlinburg, who actually closer to Pigeon Forge, but it's all the same area. And Joe actually sent us a message and said, hey, I'm in Gatlinburg, and he had some stories for us. And I thought it would be a cool opportunity to bring Joe on, let him tell you some stories, and then at the same time, talk a little bit about, as Joe puts it, restoring faith in humanity, on how everybody kind of came together in Gatlinburg after the fire. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Jerry? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's no problem at all. Let's start off real quick you got some really spooky stories, way more than we can definitely get into on one show, so we know we're going to have you back on. But let's start off a little bit about telling, we talked a little bit beforehand about some of the cool things that happened in Gatlinburg during the fire. First of all, let's start off with talk about how close you actually were to the fire, because you run a business that's down there in downtown Gatlinburg. And tell us a little bit about the night of the fire and when you eventually had to evacuate and some stuff that happened immediately after.
Well, it started off like any typical morning, just another day at the office, another day at work. Around 11 o'clock, my girlfriend had actually brought my son up there to see me. I was standing outside smoking, talking to them, and she looked up and said, I think that's the fire. It was a bright yellow glow, orangish glow. I said, oh, you're crazy. That's just the sun over the mountain, which I knew it wasn't, but I didn't want them to get nervous or scared. So I just said, that's just a glow over the mountain. Don't worry about it. It's far away. I said, go ahead and get up out of here, and I'm going to go back to work. I went on back in, didn't really think much more about it. I mean, we knew it was close, but we had no idea how close it was. Within 45 minutes, I'm going to say around 11:45, 12 o'clock, it just started getting really, really dark outside. I'm like, wow, look how dark it is outside. So we step outside, and literally it was so dark that you couldn't see a block down the road. I mean, the smoke was just that bad already. And the streetlights, it was so dark that the streetlights were actually coming on. And we were all just kind of standing around like, damn, that's crazy. Let's go on back in and get to work. No big deal. We went back in. I called the police department. Hey, everything good? Everything's good. It's just air quality's a little bad. Nothing to worry about. So we go back to what we're doing. About an hour later, we walk back outside, and it's gotten so bad that we literally couldn't stand out there more than a few minutes, because this ash and all in the air was choking us up and burning our eyes. The building began to get a little bit of smoke in it. Still not real worried. And I told my employees, if anybody wants to go home, you're free to go. I don't think there's anything to worry about. A couple hours go by. It just continuously gets worse, gradually getting worse and worse and worse. Everybody leaves besides me and one other employee. I'm constantly on the phone about every 45 minutes with police department. Hey, you're good, you're good. Around 4 o'clock that day, it really started getting hot, and the blackness started getting this orange tint to it, and you could literally smell and feel how close the fire was getting. So I made another phone call. Nothing to worry about. Everything's good. Just keep an eye on everything. You should be fine. Around 6 o'clock that night, I finally made the call. You know, the heck with this. We're out of here. Lock the door. Clean up. Let's go. As we were exiting the building, probably within the next 30 minutes, it had gotten so bad that it was raining and snowing ash. And the car had looked like it snowed on it, but it was all like a gray snow. And as we were pulling out, we could actually see the fire. So we just kind of gunned it out of the parking lot. We get to the spur, which is the divider between Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. Both sides of the spur is on fire. And we were literally driving down that 3 or 4 mile stretch with fire on either side of us. It was so bad that the tires on the car in front of us actually caught on fire. And we just floored it. And by the grace of God, we got out of there no harm, no foul. And after that, we got back to the house and started watching the news literally for the next 12 days straight, which was telling us how bad Gatlinburg was, how bad it's burnt down, which a lot of that wasn't as bad as they had said, but it was still pretty bad. I actually had one employee completely lose his home. 321, which is right off this main strip in Gatlinburg, was pretty much burnt down. I mean, it was just a living nightmare.
So obviously, you know, like I said, a lot of people lost homes. A lot of people lost their businesses. And when people lose businesses, that means a lot of people lose their jobs. What did you see in the community that, as far as people rallying around the people who had lost stuff? Obviously, Dolly Parton had the big thing for her charity, the big telethon that was on that helped. And then, but just the average people around, how did everybody rally around each other?
I think they said it best when they said Gatlinburg strong. They all came together. I mean, you had all the businesses coming in to help people pick up stuff off their property and help clean up the mess. I mean, downtown wasn't hurt too bad, but I mean, you can imagine the mess and the ash and it's like a volcano after a volcano. I mean, it's just stuff everywhere, but everybody really came together and people came from all over the country to bring stuff, even with my employees. I mean, they were driving in truckloads of stuff and dropping it off for nothing more than to just help. I mean, like I told you, when the world, you think the world's a bad place and it's getting horrible, stuff like that really helps you rebuild your faith in humanity, because, I mean, there's still some really great people out there that want to do nothing more than to reach out and pick you up when you're down. And a lot of my employees were down.
And I know, like I said, we stayed at a hotel down there where they were talking about that a lot of their employees lost stuff, and they were putting them up in the hotel. As soon as they were able to open up, they were putting them up in the hotel so they would have places to stay free of charge. And I know you were saying the owners were of the company you work for, they were taking care of employees that lost stuff and making sure they had hotel rooms and stuff. I mean, it's good to know that the businesses down there took care of their people.
They did. And there's a lot of restaurants down there feeding people. And thank God for the firemen. I mean, God bless them. They came from all over this country, and they stayed up there and fought it and saved. If it hadn't been for them, there would be no Gatlinburg. Gatlinburg would just be a memory.
Amen. Once again, an instance of our civil servants out there, especially in this case, the firemen that put their life on the line, you know, every day and never knowing when something like that's going to pop up. So,
and I talked to a bunch of them that showed me pictures of how close the fire was to them. And I don't know if I would have been brave enough as they were.
Yeah, I definitely know that I wouldn't be. So, I mean, if you're forced to do something, you don't know what your capability is. But to know that that's a choice that these guys make is a whole different ballgame of bravery.
They carried a lot of people out of there that didn't evacuate in time, saved a whole lot of lives. I know, I think we lost 18 lives. If it hadn't been for them, there would have been hundreds probably.
Well, kudos to them. Well, Joe, the reason we brought you on, I definitely wanted to touch on that because, like I said, I know Gatlinburg's near and dear to us, and you live there and work there, so I know it's near and dear to you especially. So the reason we brought you on, though, is you got some awesome stories that involve the paranormal. You do a lot of researching, a lot of investigating. Through our talks, it amazed me your knowledge of stories. I rattled off two or three stories that we were thinking about doing, and you instantly knew about all those stories, which tells me a lot about how much you get into the paranormal. And you showed me some tattoos and stuff of you got a Ouija board tattoo on your back, or is it your chest? But
it's on my back, and I have all horror movie sleeves on my arms.
So, I mean, you're definitely my kind of guy. So, you're going to share a couple of stories with us tonight that you handpicked, and I'm going to just turn the microphone over to you and let you do the talking.
Not a problem. Well, when I first moved up here, I always heard the stories of Gatlinburg's most haunted city in the state of Tennessee. Which, you know, you always hear that. People like to brag and say, you know, we got this haunted place, we got that haunted place. But I think, if I had to say, I think Gatlinburg probably is one of the most haunted places in the state of Tennessee. I started working for the company that I work for now, which is a family attraction in Gatlinburg, in 2011. And it's funny how you remember dates, but I'd hunted the paranormal for a long time. And in May 2012, I'd actually became a night closer for that company. And that's when I first started, and I moved my way up since then. But we were closing one night. It was May 2012 because the Avengers movie had just came out. One of my employees that was closing with me walked up to me and says, "Hey, I'd like to go see the Avengers. If I could leave early, I'll make it up to you later." I said, "Yeah, man, go ahead. I'll finish closing. I don't have much to do. Enjoy the movie. I'll see you tomorrow." So he leaves. I finish cleaning, get over there to the register, and start doing my numbers, adding up all the daily sales and all that. And as I'm standing there, there's a staircase directly in front of me. Kind of out of the corner of my eye, I see it moving. I look up, and there's somebody walking down the steps. And I said, "Boy, how dumb am I? I forgot to check off. I've locked somebody in here." I said, "Sorry about that, brother. Let me let you out. I didn't mean to lock you in here." I grab my keys, look back up, and all it is two legs. It's literally two legs walking down the steps. And they disappear. And I say, "Boy, I must be tired." So you just play it off like, you know what, I'm seeing things. I'm tired. It's been a long day. I was working a lot of hours. I shrug it off and go back to work. Well, over the next course of the next few weeks, weird things start happening. I'd be standing there doing the numbers at night, and I feel somebody tug on my shirt. And I'm like, "Why are you tugging on my shirt?" Thinking it's one of my employees. I turn around. There's nobody there. That's kind of odd. So I turn back around and do it again. They tug again. So from that point on, I'm kind of standing sideways doing the numbers because I'm getting a little freaked out, to be honest with you. Fast forward a little bit. I become manager. And at night, if something happens, you got to go out there and check out the building. So around 3 o'clock, I'm going to say at least 3 or 4 times a week, the alarm would go off every morning. Same steps, same motion sensor. Of course, I would have to show up, and, you know, you get that kind of weird feeling in your head, you know, hope nobody's in here. Open the back door, and instantly when you walk in, you just feel like an electric charge. And I always told people, it's almost felt like something was telling me, "Hey, get out. You get the daytime, I get the nighttime, get out." So I have to walk around this big, huge, creepy, dark building at night at 3 o'clock in the morning, half asleep. So I'm walking around, nothing there, of course, reset the alarm, leave. Well, on one of these trips, I'm walking around, get back downstairs, turn on all the lights, walk the whole place, come back downstairs, go downstairs, kill all the lights again, and you got these few little steps you got to walk up to leave. So I'm walking up these steps. As I'm walking up these steps, a golf ball rolls down from the second floor, down the steps, bouncing down. I stop it with my foot and say, "That's weird. Must be somebody left it up there and it rolled down." So I pick it up, throw it a little golf ball return, go over there to check all the money to make sure everything's good. As I'm over there checking, another ball rolls down, hits the side of the wall. I'm sitting there looking at it. I'm like, "Boy, that's odd." I said, "What in the hell is going on here?" Walk around the counter. As I'm standing there looking at it, the third ball rolls down. At this point, I said, "The hell with this. I'll pick them up in the morning." So I leave. I became a coward. I'll go ahead and admit it. I lock up and leave, come back the next morning, pick it up, tell my employees. They all call me crazy, kind of laugh at me, and we all have a little chuckle about it, go on about the day. Well, the following day after that, I open. One of my employees is late, so I'm standing at the top of the steps looking at the front door, kind of irritated Neil that he's not there yet. Out of the corner of my eye, once again, I see these legs walking down the steps. I'm like, I'm just going to ignore it. It's not there, not happening. I'm going to ignore it. At the bottom of those steps is a sticker rack, or it used to be, where we hang stickers on them and it spins. Right as those legs got to that rack spun. I said, "I'll wait outside." So I just leave instantly, go stand outside, smoke a cigarette, wait for that employee to get there. Another cool little thing that happened is we used to have a little door downstairs that would open and close, a little barn door. You would open it to walk into this room, and it would automatically shut itself. Well, on this occasion, we would stand up there. I'd heard it a few times before, but I don't hear really well, so I kind of chalk it up as I'm just hearing things. Me and another boy standing up there talking, we hear the door shut. I said, "Somebody's down there. Just go down there and introduce, you know, say welcome and all that good stuff. How you doing? Thank you for coming." Walks down there. There's nobody here. That's odd. He gets back up there. We start talking again. Open and close again. There's got to be somebody down there. Walk down there. Nobody's there. Third time it happens, I say, go get me the drill. I just took the door off. I was started hearing it close. It doesn't spook me out enough, so I just took the door off the hand and just threw it out back. It's just a haunted place. At one time, it was the largest movie theater on the East Coast. It was called Cherokee Movie Theater. And it took me a long time to find out some of the history on this building. The building was actually built in 1933. It was a warehouse. Later on, became a movie theater. After the movie theater closed, it became a funeral home for a very short stint. After that, it became a wax museum and an arcade and what it is now. But the building is the oldest building that's still in use in that town, and I guess it's just got so much history. A funny story from the time that it was a movie theater that kind of plays into it. We were there one night leaving. One of my employees was kind of joking and making fun of it and saying, you know, I don't believe in any of this stuff. You can't scare me about this, yada, yada. Hey, you know, if you're here, come get me. You know, everybody wants to be Superman. Well, about that time, I hear a glass break at the top of the steps. We're all kind of looking up the steps. I don't want to go up there. So I was like, hey, Mr. Billy Badass, run up here and check that out. I'll go. He goes upstairs, pulls out his little phone, turns his flashlight on. Comes back downstairs, has this little round piece of glass with him. Said, this is what it was. I look at it and instantly think it's the bottom of a Coke bottle. Don't think much of it. Set it on the counter, leave. Got to thinking the next morning, you know, if this was a Coke bottle, where's the rest of it? And if it's a Coke bottle, why is there no jacket ends on it? So I'm standing there looking at it, kind of this dirty piece of glass. Almost looks like a magnifying glass. A friend of mine from another store walks in. He's with the vaudeville show up here. I said, check this out. I found this here last night. What do you think it is? He said, where in the world did you find this? I was like, it's top of the steps. It was broke. He's like, have you ever seen this here before? I'm like, no. He goes, you know what it is, don't you? I was like, I have no clue. He goes, it's an old projector's lens. He said, from like an old movie theater. He said, it's a projector lens. He said, I'm going to say it's from the 50s. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, no, these are very valuable if it wasn't broke. He said, where exactly did you find it? I said, you found it top of the steps somewhere. And somebody just dropped it and broke it. He said, nobody would have dropped this and broke it. He said, this had to come from when this place was a movie theater. I said, well, it must have fell from somewhere, but the question is where? I've been there, you know, since 2011. This is now 2016-17. Where'd he come from? To this day, we still don't know. But, you know, it's cool stories like that. I mean, we've seen one of my own personal experiences that I've seen was the one morning I walked in, one of my employees had forgot to put some shirts out. So I'm already mad. I told one of my other employees, just give me the key. I'll go get them. I said, you know, I'm writing it down. You know, you forgot to do this. So I'm going to chew him out pretty much when he gets there. Because it's middle of summer. It's very busy when we first open. So I'm just going to run up there and grab him real quick, throw him out, and move on. Well, I walk upstairs, got the key to the shirt room in my hand. As I get to the top of the steps, there's a gentleman standing there, an older gentleman, all black, white shirt, button-up shirt, dress pants, kind of a weird-looking hat on. I don't know how to describe the hat. I said, hey, man, how you doing? Welcoming. Turn around to open the shirt room. He smiles as he nods at me. I turn around to open the shirt room. I'm like, wait a minute. Door's not unlocked. Oh, my God, there's somebody in here. So I'm thinking, you know, somebody broke in here. You know, somebody's in here. They shouldn't be in here. So I turn back around instantly, like, matter of seconds, nobody's standing there. I'm telling you, Jerry, this dude was as clear as me or you. I mean, it was no gray, no see-through. This guy was as clear as me or you. He looked at me, made eye contact with me. I welcomed him, and he smiled and nodded. Within 10 seconds, he's down. There's nowhere for him to go. He would have had to went down one of the two steps, and if he would have went down either one of those steps, somebody downstairs would have seen him. So I don't know how to explain that one.
It sounds like you at least got some friendly ghosts.
You know, they've never bothered anybody. That's what I tell all my employees. They're so scared of them. I've been there this long. They've never bothered me. Yeah, I mean, they like to play a little bit. You hear them running upstairs. Sometimes you think there's kids upstairs running when there's nobody there. Sometimes they like to move things around. Sometimes they like to make some noises. They've never hurt anybody, and I've never heard of them hurting anybody. And I've met people that worked there for many years ago, and one guy in particular, he helped build the place. He helped build what it is now. And he was signing some waivers to do some stuff there. And I said, man, I just got to ask you a question that you used to be a part of this place. Without missing a beat, he goes, yeah, it's haunted. I said, do what? He said, that's what you're going to ask me, right? I said, well, yeah. He goes, well, yeah, it's haunted. He said, I wouldn't stand here at night by myself. He said, it scared the hell out of me. He said, my office used to be upstairs, and I would not go up there. I was like, it's never bothered me that bad. He said, it ain't going to hurt you. He said, it just scared the hell out of me when I seen it. He said, I just didn't want to see it. I said, well, we've never seen it that much. He goes, give it time. He said, by the way, I called him George, and he walked away. And so to this day, we just call him George. And I met a man there one time that came in. He was an older gentleman. He walked to me, and he said, hey, what's upstairs? I told him. He said, you mind if I go up there and look around? I said, knock yourself out, man. It was slow. I wasn't really paying him no attention, to be honest with you, other than being friendly to him. About 2 hours later, he comes down. I'm like, my God, this dude's been here a while. He walks over to me. He goes, I got to ask you a question. I said, yeah. He goes, you're going to think I'm crazy. I said, probably not. He said, anything funny ever happened here or strange? I said, what do you mean by that? He goes, if it happens, you know exactly what I mean. I said, well, yeah, some weird stuff happens. He said, I was wondering if it was still here. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, I worked here when I was younger, when it was a wax museum, and I had to close at night. I had to go upstairs and clean and dust off the wax pickers. And he said, you wouldn't believe how fast I did it because I was scared of what's up there. I said, what exactly do you think is up there? He goes, you know damn good and well what's up there. He said, there's a ghost up there. I said, well, maybe. He said, no, there ain't no maybe to it. He goes, it's there. And he stood there for a minute. He goes, have a nice night.
That's pretty cut and dry.
He was, but I mean, he spent 2 hours looking around up there, and he just basically, I guess, had to come back to either face his fear or just to see if it was still there, you know. But the coolest thing, I guess, was the golf balls or just the little weird stuff it does. It'll open the bathroom door. Every once in a while, it'll roll a golf ball down, or it just does little stupid things just to, I guess, let you know, hey, I'm here. Don't forget about me. Maybe it just doesn't want to be forgotten about. I've often thought maybe it's just an usher that's kind of still just repeating his job. He's still just walking up and down those steps. Another time we actually done an EVP session. I know you're probably getting short on time, so I'll make this quick. We were walking around with one of the spirit boxes, and I said, do you have anything to say, basically? And he came across and said, flowers. I said, do you want some flowers? Staircase. I said, that's odd. Flowers and staircase. Hidden. Never got any more words. Flowers, staircase, and hidden. We were standing in the back one day, put some inventory up, and one of my employees said, look at the ceiling. I said, what about it? He goes, it's slanted. I said, and? He said, there's a staircase there. I said, there's no staircase there. So we go upstairs just to settle this bet. We start taking paneling off the wall. We can unscrew it, take it off. Sure enough, there's a hidden staircase, a mirror image to the other staircase, and the wallpaper on the wall is trees. So we were assuming that he meant the trees, thought the trees were flowers, and that's a hidden staircase. But we didn't find anything in there of any importance, so I'm not sure why it wanted to tell us about that. But it made us a point, made a point to tell us hidden staircase flowers.
That's pretty cool.
It was. It was kind of, it's one of those things where you get those spirit boxes and it pays off and you finally like, well, maybe we are really talking to the dead.
And did you notice that, because I know you do a lot of paranormal investigations too, did you notice that when I did the interview with Chad Lindbergh that I brought you up?
I did. He talked about the Wheatley's Plantation.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that's come up for sale. The same guys don't own it, so I'm waiting to see who buys it so I can try to get us in there so you can check it out yourself.
That'd be awesome. But yeah, I thought it was a good opportunity to bring that up since they had been there and you had just brought it up. When you did, you brought that up to me and brought him up and didn't even know that I was getting ready to interview him. So that, I thought that was a coincidence all of its own.
Hey, everything happens for a reason. And I'm looking into that hospital he was talking about, and it seems like you may be right. I had not heard of that one, which is surprising to me.
You know, I said that I hadn't heard of it either. And then right after we get off the phone, there's a podcast I listen to. The name's escaping me right off the bat. But they actually did a story. Everything they do is in Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
And I remembered hearing the story back because I remember thinking, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, never heard of it. But they did a whole show on it. And I remembered that right after we got off the phone, that was something I had heard of. I'd just forgotten about it.
I've lived in Tennessee 90% of my life, and I still don't know exactly where Pittsburgh is. I'm going to have to look that up. But I was looking at the hospital he was talking about. It looks interesting. We might have to take a trip out there one day.
There you go. Well, brother, it was fun having you on. Like I said, we'll have you on in the future. Talk about your experiences at Wheatley and some of these other places you've been to. I know there's a restaurant that's got some paranormal activity there. You're gonna try to sneak us to next time we come by. But it's been fun having you on, and we appreciate it. And keep listening.
I appreciate it, brother. And you know I will. And I'll talk to you soon.
All right, later, Joe.
Thank you, sir.
See, that's such a touching story about everything that that town went through. And,
yeah.
And you know, I know I don't want to make it sound like it's more dramatic than what people in California have went through with their fires and the hurricane stuff, because all that stuff is tragic. Mm-hmm. I guess to us, just because we go there so much and have so many fond memories, maybe it hits a little closer to home. But, you know, you've got a small community that's really tight-knit there, and to know that their whole existence is on basically tourism and, yeah. and all that, and it's a family place. That's and just to know that there was it was so close to losing every bit of that.
I know.
It's just absolutely amazing. Senseless. So, but and then, like I said, then the stories itself of the location being haunted and all that was just really cool.
Uh-huh.
So it's almost like stepping back in time.
Yeah, and we've, I mean, we've been to Gatlinburg since the fire,
mm-hmm.
and it's just surreal seeing, you know, up in the mountains, they're just like naked. There's like no trees, there's like nothing, and just,
In spots. Some spots you really can't tell, but in other spots, but there's noticeable damage throughout mm-hmm. the place.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? They bounced back, and we were glad to see it and happy for everybody there.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the February Patreon show. If you are listening to this and you've got a story and you haven't been on, get with us, and you can be on March's show.
Yeah. And make sure, you know, I know Valentine's Day is coming up, so give some extra loving.
Yeah. Extra loving.
Extra loving.
I don't know. Is that even a song?
No, I just made that up.
Okay. Guys, thank you so much. We'll see you soon.